Revelation chapter 21, and I think we have, after tonight, five more Wednesday evenings in this chapter. So we're approaching the end. I see the finish line out there about August. But it's just been a delight. I've enjoyed so much the study, and particularly I've really enjoyed this view of that God has of his church, how God sees the church, how God views the church. And that's what we have here in these verses in this chapter 9 through 27 in particular. Tonight, I would like to look at several verses, but a single subject. Last time we looked at here, we looked at several verses and a single subject, and that was the walls of the city. And I used the illustration, and I've thought about this some this past week, and I really appreciate the fact that the church is behind a wall that is impregnable. And there have been some enjoyable films where a spaceship is wrapped in a force field and nothing gets to it. It's invisible. Now, this protection is invisible. And this protection is unseen by the world and unnoticed by the world, and yet the church depends on it, and it is impregnable. Nothing can get to the church. All the power and all the force of all the things, evil and evil doctrine, false doctrine, can't get to the church. And the wicked one can't get to the church. It is in full protection by this wall. It is high wall, it is thick wall, and yet it's invisible. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual wall. And every one of God's believers and the church as a whole is protected by this wonderful bubble that we're in. And there's pure air in there, pure grace, pure righteousness. There was a film, I never got to see it, I saw ads about a boy that had to live inside of a bubble. And, I don't want the disease, but it was pure oxygen. And that's the way it is in God with God's people. It's pure grace, pure righteousness, pure holiness, pure peace that God gives to his people in this protective wall. Well, tonight I would like to go on and look at four verses that share with us some things about the gates of this city. Now, I have to work at looking at this spiritual. Not because I'm looking at another view, but I'm in the flesh. And I just want to look at these things as spiritual. The gates of this city. All right, I'd like to read verse 12, 13, 21, and 25. And pick out some thoughts here from each of these verses that share with us the great truths that are contained in these 12 gates. Now, we're not going to find that there are 12 different gates in the sense of what is permitted in them. We're going to find, just like we did the wall, there is only one foundation that that wall sits on, even though it is described as having a foundation of the 12 apostles. It is what they preached is the foundation. It's who they preached is the foundation. So the 12 may have preached, but they didn't preach different things. The day of Pentecost proves that. We only hear one message, but there were 12 different groups of people hearing the same message. In fact, it says, we do hear in our own language the wonderful works and words of God. Now, that's what everyone was preaching on that day. Now, I don't know how it was a miracle. It was. Everybody got to hear in their own language. And as the Apostle Paul said, I'd rather hear 5 words in a known language than 10,000. And if you go to a Spanish church and don't understand Spanish, I can prove my point. And I did that one time. I was in Malin, Pastor... Oh, my goodness, he's in Ball, Louisiana. Milton Howard. He was asked to preach to the Spanish-speaking people in the community because he knows Spanish fluently. And I went and heard it, and I picked out Theos. God, and the rest of it was a foreign language. So I know that for a fact. All right, let's look here. The way that God looks at the church and these gates. Verse 12 of the 21st chapter, it says, it had a high and great, the wall, great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. Now, I am firm belief that these 12 angels are the same type of angel we find the angel of the church at Smyrna, the angel of the church at Thyatira, the angel of the church at Ephesus, and so forth. This was their pastor. We have gospel preachers at these gates preaching the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace. All right, there's 12 angels at these gates. And the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now, we're going to see that these are not national Israel, but these are the elect of God out of every kindred, nation, people, and tongue. And their names are on the doors of these gates. And in fact, they're the only ones. I'm not talking about physical Israel. I'm talking about spiritual Israel. As Paul declares, not all Israel is of Israel. And a true Israelite is one that is a Jew inward, not outward. To stand before God as a Jew outward without Christ is going to hear these words. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, I never knew you. They're not going to have a special place before God. Only people who have Christ. Paul was a Jew. Christ appeared to him. Christ converted him. Christ gave him the new birth. And he is going to hear, welcome, thou good and faithful servant. A Jew without Christ is going to hear, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Just like anybody else. Now, these gates have the 12 tribes of Israel, and that means that the people who go through these gates have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. The only ones, and I want to show, it's the doors are open, the gates are open, and the invitation goes out. But the only ones that will ever respond to the message already have their names on the gates. And there's the ones that are going to enter in. And that's the way God has said it. I was reading a book. I found a book, and that's one of the neat things about the internet. I can find books that I would never have found in going to used bookstores. I read about a guy writing a book in a book, and I say, write that down, and get on the internet, and lo and behold, down in Florida, in a used bookstore, is the book that I've been looking for, and I go click, pay for it, and it's sent to me, and I love it. Now I can read that book. And in there, he's talking about the grace of God, and he shares, God does it the way he does it because he wants to do it that way. That's just pretty simple, isn't it? I liked his language. He was a preacher that wrote in 1877. And he just summed it up as quick and quietly as possible. God does his business just the way he wants to. All right, and that's when it comes to election and anything else. All right. Had 12 gates. The names were written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And there's plenty of open gates on every side for all who will enter. But the gates only attract those whose names are inscribed, and that's the 12 tribes of Israel, the elect of God, who, when you check the residents of the city, you're only going to find the 12 tribes of Israel, the elect of God. That's the residents. That's their names. Now, the cities used to have, as you entered in, New Pine Creek, population 160, elevation. Now, this city has all the names on the doors. That's a neat thing about the city. The city has all the names of the residents on the door. Why? Because their name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, there's only a certain group that's going to come through that door. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Now, it's not because the invitation didn't go out. The doors are open. The angels are declaring. And the message has gone out to the four winds. The message is to every nation, kindred, people, and tongue. As in fact, the Lord Jesus says, go and preach the gospel to every nation. That is the requirement. And over history, God has sent his preachers to every nation. And if he hasn't yet, he will. He will take care of it. Wherever his lost 12 tribes are, he will get the gospel to them, or he will get them out of there to hear the gospel. Now, the message goes out. We find out there in the book of Revelation that he has called out his people from every kindred, nation, people, and tongue. East, west, north, south, the city cries out through the open gates to everyone. Luke chapter 14, we find a wonderful account here of the gates being open, the message going out, and listen to the response. This is the response. It was the response in the days of Abel. It was the response in the days of Christ. And it's still the response. The message goes out. You pray to God Almighty. It will touch some heart as it goes out. But we have no way of touching someone's heart. They have a heart of steel, impregnable, until the Holy Spirit changes them. Luke chapter 14, verse 16, the scripture says, and then said he unto him, a certain man had a great supper and bade many, invited many, and sent his servant at the supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. The supper is made, the invitations have been sent out. And that has gone on since God put people on this earth. The invitations have gone out. The invitations have gone out. I'm reminded of that incident, and we read it just recently, about they learned about the need to have the Passover. They sent out the messengers, the posts. They went throughout all Israel and all Judah, and everybody laughed at them, except, nevertheless, there were a few here and there that came to the Passover. The rest just laughed them to scorn. It says here, he sent them out, and they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. Well, I got to work. I got to do this. I got to do that. We've heard it. If you haven't heard it, you've heard it. We'd sure like you to go down here to this meeting, because a man's preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd like, I've already made plans. Well, here it is. I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Now, that's just as reasonable excuse as the ones you've heard. I just can't do it tonight. I can't do that. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. It goes on to say, another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and go to prove them. I pray thee, I have me excused. The gates are open. The message going out. Come in. There's peace here. No one's going to harm you in here. No one's going to browbeat you in here. No one is going to put you down in here. No, everybody's going to love you in here. The king of the city is going to love you. He has a wonderful message of his grace to you. I bought a piece of ground. I've got some oxen. Just as foolish as excuses as these. Another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. You know what Adam said? The woman thou gave me. It just goes on and on and on. What goes around comes around. And then it says, so the servant came and showed the Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, now here is how it's done. This is how we're going to get the table filled up. This is how we're going to get the city filled up. This city is the city of people, the city of grace, the city of mercy, the city of hope, the city of peace. the city of holiness. This is how it's going to get filled up. This is how the city has made itself. He said, then the master of the house, being angry, sent his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring. Now that's what the Holy Spirit does. Bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Why did he say that? Because they are members of the 12 tribes of Israel, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go out, bring them in. They can't get in here by themselves. You're going to have to bring them in. And he's telling that to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the only one that can bring them in. The person at the door saying, come in here because everything is grand, can't get through to them. The only way they will be brought in is the Holy Spirit bringing them in. This afternoon, I had a few minutes before I got to meet at the McDonald's for coffee, and I stopped at one of the wonderful places I like to go through, St. Vincent de Paul. And I'm going down through the book section there, and I landed on how to be born again. And you know what I wanted to do with that? Buy it and burn it. Because the man who wrote it had no concept whatsoever when you put it on how to, because that means you can do it if you do it right. And the scriptures teach us the only people in the city are those who have been brought in by the Holy Spirit, because we don't have sense enough to come in on our own. And then he goes on to say, so the servant came and said, bring in the poor. Verse 21, bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Now, the only reason there is room, because not everyone is in yet. There's more to be brought in. And this is what he said. The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Now, we have in here the message of bring them in. And next, he says, compel them. Compel them. Now that's an interesting word. Compel them. Bring them in. Compel them. Bring them in. Jesus compelled his disciples to enter into a ship. Now what would that mean? I'm getting in this boat and you get in there too. I've compelled my children. Now that doesn't mean, now if you really want to come in, you can. That means you're going to get in here. Now, it's for your own good and your own safety to have someone tell me that God would never go against the will of somebody to compel them to come in is ridiculous, because that's the only way we'll ever come in. And once we're in, what do we find? River of life, bread of life, heaven on earth, Jesus Christ as Lord. There's no negativism whatsoever. We find out after we've been brought into the city, it was the greatest thing that God has ever done for us, was to bring us into that city. We weren't going to come. Oh, we heard the message, but I've got some plowing to do. Now, I've got this church over here I'm going to, and what would happen if I... We've heard the excuses, haven't we? We've heard the excuses, but only the Holy Spirit can bring them in or compel them in. And that's the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Their names are listed. Enter into the straight gate. That's what Jesus said. There be few that find it, though. Enter in the straight gate. And then we find over there, turn with me to John 6:37. John 6:37. What a wonderful passage of scripture this is. It just helps us with this passage in the book of Revelation chapter 21 when we talk about the gates. These gates are open. They are open. They are open. Now, the gates to the cities of refuge were open. They were not barred at all. They were open because there were people that needed to be brought in. And the reason that they were coming down the road is they had someone after them. And they came down that road on purpose. God moved them on purpose. The gates are open. All can enter in. But you know what? If it's only us inviting them, they with one excuse. But when the Holy Spirit brings them or compels them, and they come in and sit down, Mephibosheth, he had to be brought in. But once he sat down, what food he had. He's eating corn husks. Now he sits down to the king's food. He's never going to say, oh my goodness, I really feel bad that they carried me down here and I have to eat this food. No. The most ridiculous thing a religious person could say is, I would never want God to go against my will. Oh, yes, you would. You stand in judgment before God and you hear him say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You wish, well, the thought won't even go through the mind. But on the other side, all the church will say, thank you, God Almighty, for your grace. All right, John chapter 6, verse 37. This is the gates. This is who comes through the gates. Here's what the names are of the 12 tribes of Israel. John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And the church says, hallelujah. It's an impossible task. We'll never get skin on these bones. We'll never get breath into these people. We'll never see them move unless the Holy Spirit does it. You know. Now we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. God is going to take care of his part. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. They'll come through the gates. They'll come through Christ. They'll not come another way. They'll not be as thieves and robbers. They'll come through Christ. They'll bow to the Lord God Almighty. They'll bow to his gospel. They'll bow to his word. They'll bow to his ways. They'll bow. They'll say he is the way, the truth, and the life. I thought there was another way, but it is wrong. He'll strip us of our righteousness and we'll come begging the righteousness of Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Hallelujah. The gates are open. The invitation has gone out. And with one excuse after another, and thank God Almighty that he doesn't heed those excuses for his lost sheep. He will pick them up. He will bring them through the gates. And they will rejoice in it. They will say hallelujah and really mean it. All right? The gates of the city. And then it tells us in verse 13. Revelation chapter 21, verse 13, we have this said about the gates. On the east, three gates, and on the north, three gates, and on the south, three gates, and on the west, three gates. Now, that is just a statement. I shouldn't use the word just. That is a statement that means it's the gospel that goes in every direction. It's always the same. It's not a different gospel to these people who just don't have the mind to understand. Preachers have said, if people just believe in a supreme being, they're okay. Sorry. That's not what the Bible says. Everybody, even the devils, believe in a God. They're quick to confess it. Are you here to punish us before our time, thou son of God? That's what the demonic there at Gadara, the demonic, that those unclean spirits said that. And I appreciate what Brother Rupert says. We've all got those. We're born with those. Now, I'm not convinced, and he wasn't either. He's not trying to tell us that we have these evil spirits, but we have an evil spirit about us because of the fall. And we will trust a God, but we'll never trust God unless he opens our heart. We'll believe anything, and it's proven around the world. People will believe anything. All right? It tells us here, the east, there's the east, all these directions. In every direction, the gospel is proclaimed by the angels. They're the messengers of God declares, the preachers through the church, they declare it. And we're called on to preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. And in Revelation chapter 5, back up there if you would for a moment. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, it shares this. I've alluded to it, but I want to read it. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. We were here some time ago, and it says, they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, north, tongue, south, people, east, and nation, west. City is located in such a place that it points in every direction of the compass. The doors are open. The gospel has been declared in every direction. And God is calling people, his tribes of Israel, out of every kindred, nation, people, tongue. And they're assembling, and they make up the city, and they are in the city. Psalm 98. Turn there with me if you would. Psalm 98. This is an interesting passage of scripture about the gospel being preached in the Old Testament. Who did it go to? We can just say those dumb Jews, they didn't understand what God was saying. Well, dumb Gentiles didn't know what he's saying either. We're born dumb when it comes to the gospel. It's just out of our league. It's spiritual and we're not. We just can't pick it out. We can't see it. Here in the book of Psalms, Psalm 98, verse 2 and 3. Psalm 98, verse 2 and 3. The Lord hath made known his salvation. I want to know about that. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Every kindred, nation, people, and tongue. And this is in the Old Testament. The gospel has gone out. We just read on Sunday about it going to Nineveh in Assyria. The gospel went out. And then in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. The gospel has gone out. The gates are open in every direction. Now there's only one Christ. There's only one door, there's only one gate, and by that I mean there's only one message. There's only one Christ and his message. But the direction, it goes in all directions. It covers the world, and it's the same in every direction. The north doesn't get a different message than the east. It's all the same. Jesus Christ and him crucified. It is by his blood and by his righteousness alone that we depend. All right, the book of Romans, chapter 10. The Apostle Paul is sharing with us as he is a secretary for the Holy Spirit, for God Almighty, in verse 17 of this chapter 10. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God is absolutely essential. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We'll never have the faith without the word of God, the gospel. We'll not have, now we can have faith. Oh, my prayers have been answered. I don't know how many times I've heard that. And you know what? Before I was ever saved, my prayers were answered too. I can't explain it. I had faith, but I didn't have the faith. Because the faith is created in us by the author and finisher of our faith. I had my own, but I didn't have God's. I didn't have his faith. I had my own, All right, Romans chapter 10. There, then it says here in verse 18, "But I say, have you not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses saith, I'll provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was manifest to them that asked not after me." Oh, the 12 tribes of Israel, Gentiles and Jews, they weren't seeking me, but I was seeking them. They weren't known of me, but I knew them. "But to Israel it saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and a gainsaying people. The gates are open, three on the east, three on the west, three on the north, three on the south." And if you follow this, it just goes around the compass. Gate, this gate, that gate, and so forth. The message is the same. God's invitation, the invitation of the angel is the same. God takes that message, and out of every kindred, nation, people, and tongue, he draws his people. You know what? They come in and find out their name was written on the doors before the foundation of the world. And they're, thank you, God. Wow, that's wonderful. And they don't sing the song, "There's a new name written down in glory." It's not that way. It was written down in glory. And then we find out it was. The 12 gates were, in verse 21 over there, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit led the writer of this book to declare that the gate is one pearl, not a bunch of them. He didn't take a bunch of little bitty ones and glue them together. Now, this is spiritual. This is spiritual. We can sing about the pearly gates, but this is spiritual. There is only one pearl that is sufficient for the gates. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. There's only one. He declares time and time again, declared from beginning to end, there is only one way. That's a pearl of great price, great value. Turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Matthew. The pearl of great price, being figurative of the expression to denote the preciousness of Jesus and his salvation. This pearl is figurative. It is spiritual. And it declares to us that the gates of this wonderful city is based upon the fact of Jesus Christ and his righteousness. That's the pearl. My goodness, when God reveals that to his people, that is a pearl of great price. It's so valuable. We're not wanting to sell it by any means. We just find out how important that gate is. I am the door, is what Jesus said. We can put that another way. I'm the gate. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the gate of this city. And it's represented in these 12, because to every gate, to every tribe of Israel, it is always the same gate. It is always one gospel. It is always one word. It is always one righteousness. It's always the one Christ. That's the pearl of great price. Notice here, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. You men work on something that will fit in my Bible, that will turn the page so I'll be there. Ladies, if you computer-wise, do that. Matthew chapter 13, verse 45. This pearl of great price. Oh, the weightiness of Christ, the value. Jesus Christ and him crucified. I could just grasp that in its entirety. The value of Christ. The pearl of great price. That's the gate is one pearl. Don't look for a crack in it. It's one message. It's one person. It's one grace. It's one righteousness. It's one God. There is one God. There is one salvation. There is one message. Verse 45, 46 of this 13th chapter, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, looking for several, found one. One pearl of great price. Now, I've heard this explained many ways. Well, the pearl of great price is the church. That fits too. Pearl of great price is the blood of Christ. That fits too. The pearl of great price is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That fits too. It all fits. But there is only one pearl of great price. And that's the gates. That's the entering in. You'll come by Christ or you won't come. He says, all that's come up to me before this is thieves and robbers trying to climb up another way. Well, we're going to find out something about this. It's a high wall. And He went over it. He's the only one that can. Pearl of great price. Went and sold all that he had and bought it. The Lord God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, He had all the kingdoms of the world. And in order for Him to give to us His righteousness, He sold all He was at the cross and paid in full. And that's a pearl of great price. It is indeed the pearl of great price. And that's the way we enter in. And then, that last verse, verse 25, the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. So they're not going to be shut at all. What is that sharing with us? Christ is the only door, the open door, whom sinners draw near to, and in Him we find total acceptance. They're not closed. I've had people tell me I have an open door policy until you needed help. And then the door's closed. Just can't get to Him. That's not the way it is with Christ. He is a high priest that allows, permits, and in fact insists that we come boldly before the throne of grace. He is the open door. They do not shut. John chapter 10, verses 7 through 9. Would you turn with me there? John chapter 10. This is just, they just fit together. All the verses fit together. More and more I find out the best commentary is just, and sometimes I'm at a loss for verse. That's amazing to me. I go read Hawker or Gill and find out. They've stumbled on verses and said, this is what this means. And you say, wow. And it's over in Habakkuk. It's in Zephaniah. I have trouble finding it when I want to. But they bring out these treasures. All right, notice this with me. John chapter 10, verses 7, 8, and 9. The scriptures share this. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the 12 tribes of Israel. I am the pearl of great price for all my people. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Why? Because the door is open. Never closed. We have total acceptance with the Lord Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean we leave the church. It's symbolic. We will always have the open door policy with the Lord Jesus Christ. My sheep will come to me. They will not find it a problem to come to the shepherd. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. What a blessed verse the Ephesians got to hear. Ephesians chapter 1 is good. We break down some of those verses. Whoa! What a message the Holy Spirit gave to the Ephesians as well as to us. We relish and delight in the message of God's grace. He just superly did it here in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He hath made us accepted in the beloved. What's that mean? I can go in and out. No closed door policy. I can approach God. I can approach God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit through the Son. It is through the Son that we approach the God of our salvation. God, the Lord Jesus, I've been accepted in the Beloved. Now, this word is used in another place, and with this we'll close. Turn with me to the book of Luke 1. Luke 1, this accepted. Look over here in Luke 1 with me, if you would. This has to do with some very valuable information for us. The gates will not be shut. The gates will not be shut. They're open. The message goes out, but for those who are in, the approach to Christ is eternal. In fact, the church is the body, and he's the head. All right, Luke chapter 1, verse 28, it says, the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art. Now, those three words are in italics. They've been put there for clarification. Sometimes it doesn't make it. Anyway, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, the word accepted over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 6, he hath made us accepted, is the same word that we find here in this passage, two words, highly favored. Highly favored. The church is highly favored. The church is accepted. He hath made us accepted. He hath made us highly favored. And the wonderful doors of pearl, which is Christ in his righteousness, opened up to the world. The gospel goes out, and God touches the hearts of all those that he has known from the foundation of the world. They come in, and they find out this is not prison. This is being accepted with Christ, and in Christ allows me daily, every second of the day, to be accepted, highly favored in his presence. And he welcomes his children as they go to their prayer closets every second and say, You are mine, highly favored, accepted, and I'll not close the door. You'll always have this open to you. What gates? I'm glad they're open to the four winds. Glad the message goes out. Glad on the outside there's someone who really cares about bringing people in, fetching them. Thank God for fetching grace. Thank God for compelling grace to bring us in and to find out the way in is through the pearly gates. And the pearly gates is the person Christ Jesus and his righteousness and his shed blood. And once we're in, it's not confinement. It is acceptance with God, highly favored position with God. And it's the privilege to reign with Christ for eternity. Hallelujah, what a place.